We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I can't get no satisfaction.
Jeffrey Toobin.
I can't get no satisfaction.
And a good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
And I've tried.
Welcome aboard the Tuesday edition of Dana and Parks.
So as bad as you think your day might be going...
I ain't having Jeffrey Toobin's day. We're not going to lead with it, but man...
I don't care what happened to you overnight. You ain't having the day he's having.
Nope.
So we're in bed last night, and my husband just goes, "Oh my God."
Mm-hmm.
And I go, "What?" And he just hands me his phone. And then I start mass texting Scott and Sam. It's not funny, I want to be clear. However, I fell out of bed laughing on more than one occasion.
It's pretty good. We'll get to it in a little bit. We'll get to it shortly. I have an update on Rush Limbaugh's condition as well. And the news is not good. He was diagnosed, you may recall, back in February with lung cancer. And then this story from Channel 5 down the street about going into a Quick Trip in the Northland. Have you heard about this story?
Oh, yeah.
A woman named Nina does not want Channel 5 to share her last name due to fears of a man that she met at a Quick Trip in the Northland, right off Northwest Berry Road around midnight on Sunday. Quoting here from Nina, "It was scary, you know? I thought he was going to take me away from my kids." She says when she walked into the store to buy a bottle of water, another customer immediately engaged her in a dispute that he was having with the store clerk over wearing face masks.
So she walked into a dispute already going on between the clerk and another customer.
Correct. He, the man, says Nina, was kind of on a tangent about COVID and it not being real. He started calling us sheep and names and things like that.
Oh, God.
Nina says she told the man off. And left the store. And he left the store, sorry. She left shortly after to find the man sitting in his car yelling at her. And when I turned around, he was holding a gun out the window with his finger on the trigger. And
oh
he asked
God.
Me if I was ready to die. And he says, "That's right. I'll blanking kill you." Nina said she started praying and walked to her car to get her cell phone. That's when he pulled up behind her
to block her. Mm-hmm,
actually trying to block me in the parking spot. I held my phone out the window and said police were on their way. She was actually on hold with the police department.
Hold, please.
Mm-hmm. So they had not answered yet, but the man recognized that he was in trouble.
Now, here's the sentence I want to get to next. This is not about masks. This is about crazy people. The man drove off, and Nina followed him just long enough to take down his license plate number. I believe when you do that, you are actually taking your life into your own hands. He clearly was crazy.
Yeah.
He was clearly armed. He clearly had threatened her already.
Mm-hmm.
And then she follows him just long enough to get the license plate number. Here's why I'm guessing police would urge anyone listening not to do that. Number one, if you're in Missouri, you're going to have a front plate and a back plate. Number two, Quick Trip has some of the best surveillance of all chain stores anywhere, and that includes Walmart. And so I think there were other ways to identify this nut. Don't follow him. That's how you get shot and killed.
Yeah, because what if he recognizes you when you're up against the light? So, anyway.
I'm telling you, if I walked in on an argument about anything COVID-related right now, I would turn around and just walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Turn around and walk away. Because every single day in the news, there is a new story. We've got like three of them in the stack today about somebody doing something horrible right up to and beyond murder over these arguments.
Yes, I know. It gets said almost so much that it loses a bit of its weight. But we've done lost our minds.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a woman got kicked off a flight for
not wearing a mask,
screaming, coughing at other passengers and screaming, "Everybody dies!" Which, by the way, I don't know how many people were on that flight, but you just committed assault and battery against every single person on that airplane. Just don't get involved. And you certainly don't follow someone with a gun in their car. I'm glad she's okay. Don't follow a crazy person.
Now, I don't know if this is true or not. I'm just reading off the text line. But 6873 says, "I was there. I saw everything. She was the aggressor and started in with the man for him not wearing a mask. I can't verify anything about the gun because I was still in the store, but I did see him pull behind her for about 2 seconds.
Just the act of someone blocking you in, Scott, I would be so panicked because you can't go forward without smashing into the building and you can't reverse without smashing into him.
Mm-hmm. And if he has a gun...
And then, can you imagine calling 911? "We are currently experiencing an unusual call volume."
No, you're not!
"Please hold for the nearest available operator."
No!
You know, because some guy called in and doesn't know how to roast his turkey. You know, there's always somebody tying up the line for something that doesn't need to be.
"Or my neighbor's dog won't stop barking."
Yes,
and
yes.
I'm confused why the guy was even in the store without a mask, because I do not let people walk around the store without a mask.
Now,
full disclosure, I do work for Quick Trip.
But
not
most,
that Quick Trip.
I don't want to get into your business there, Sam, but most employers have said if there's someone escalating the situation, do not get involved because mm-hmm. it's not worth your life mm-hmm. because someone wants to get into some kind of political argument with a clerk who does not make the rules.
I wouldn't engage.
Oh, 100% you don't engage. 100% you don't engage.
There's all kinds of crazy in this world, and I'm not trying to get killed. Not today.
Well, if you were there, you're welcome to call in. Or if you've had a similar situation, yeah. And I know people listening have, especially if you own a business.
576-7798. 576-7798. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright, I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the
end of the world. Some of these COVID-related stories out of the way early. We'll move on to some other stuff. Like the scandalous Jeffrey Toobin from CNN. New York Post. A Texas woman died from COVID-19 while on a flight.
Whoa.
From Arizona, officials announcing this week.
How did she get on the plane?
I don't know.
I mean, God love her.
The unidentified Garland, Texas woman in her 30s began to have difficulty breathing while on the tarmac awaiting takeoff on July 25th. The woman, who had underlying health issues, was administered oxygen, but ultimately died on the jetway. It is unclear what airport she was taking off from or what airline she was flying back to Texas. Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins, county commissioner, by the way, said Sunday local officials were previously notified about her death, but only learned that she died from the virus a couple of days ago.
Well, it would have probably taken a couple of days to figure it out. And I guess, to be fair, we don't know that she knew she had COVID.
Wouldn't it be kind of hard not to if it's enough to kill you?
I tend to agree.
Okay. And then we got this Mensa candidate. Wild video shows a plane passenger going berserk after being booted off of her Scotland-bound flight for refusing to wear a mask, coughing on other passengers, and yelling, "Everybody dies!" The footage was shot by another passenger on Sunday's EasyJet flight from Belfast, Northern Ireland, to Edinburgh shows the woman losing her cool when a flight attendant approaches her to escort her from the plane. Everybody dies, you know that, the woman yells at the flight attendant. Every blanking buddy dies. Whether it's corona or not, everybody dies. The woman then walks briskly down the aisle of the plane while coughing on fellow passengers.
Battery.
She kept saying everybody dies on the way off the plane.
You know, I had a beautiful dinner with a couple of girlfriends last night, and they were talking about an upcoming flight because they winter in California. And I said, I'm not afraid to fly at all. I know the numbers are down. They're way down. I'm not afraid to get on a plane at all because of COVID. I will tell you, when I hear stories like that, if you really look at the risk, Scott, I'm more afraid of running into some crazy person like that than I am getting on a plane. Being stranded in that fuselage with somebody like that woman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get somebody on there that's had a couple drinks and doesn't believe for whatever reason this is a thing, and now you're stuck 35,000 feet up in the air with crazy COVID lady. Outside of that scenario, I'm not afraid to fly at all.
I'm not afraid to fly. I wouldn't say I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not planning to fly anytime soon. But don't think for a second we're not bringing Clorox wipes and a bathtub full of hand sanitizer.
Sure. Sure.
More masks than you can count.
You know, we were planning on going to Vegas in November. Did I tell you that? We're going to go to Vegas, by the way.
When are you going?
In November. We were planning on going to watch the Chiefs game. And more we thought about it, because of the hasty decision to move the game to 4 o'clock yesterday, which was so bizarre, we thought, do we really want to spend the money and get on a plane and fly to Vegas to watch a game only to have the game moved?
Yeah.
And of course, the answer is no. Then you're just in Vegas for 4 days to gamble. And you know how that goes when I'm in Vegas. So we've decided to postpone that trip, not because I'm afraid of flying, not because I don't want to go sit under a palm tree somewhere by a pool, but because it's a lot of money to spend to maybe go be in town at a sports book when the Chiefs play.
But back to the part about everybody just acting weird. And do you think people are more crazy now than they were a year or two ago?
Yes.
And now it's just being displayed in stories?
Yes.
Okay.
I think actually people are crazier because it's dragged on now for 7 into 8 months.
Yeah, 8 months.
Yeah.
I mean, anxiety's up. Depression's up.
Job losses are up.
Substance abuse is up.
Did you see that, by the way? Overdose. Was it deaths or just overdoses? It's deaths. Have appeared to spike during the pandemic.
I'm not surprised.
Listen to this. I think it's from the New York Times. Matthew Davidson was beating his heroin addiction. The 31-year-old was attending group recovery meetings. He had a restaurant job he liked. He was a doting uncle to a baby nephew. Then the pandemic hit. Davidson lost his job. He started staying home alone in his apartment near Georgetown, which home alone, those two words are not healthy. He was depressed, yearning for his recovery support group that had stopped gathering in person.
Yep, they went to the Zoom.
And on May 25th, his girlfriend came home to find him dead of a drug overdose.
That's too bad.
Davidson was part of a surge in those deaths that hit Kentucky this spring. May was the deadliest month for overdoses in at least 5 years. At the end of August, the state had seen almost as many overdose deaths as it had in all of 2019. National data is incomplete up to this point, but they do believe we are on track to reach an all-time high for overdose deaths. Now, addiction experts blame the pandemic, and not because of the mask thing or people are getting sick, but because of all of the psychological junk that has come with this. The isolation.
That's the worst.
Is the worst.
If
you are already struggling, the isolation is the worst. You also don't have someone keeping you honest every day, Scott. If you can't go into work or you've lost your job, you don't have a routine, even from 8 to 5, to, quote, keep you honest.
The worst thing for as somebody who's battled these things, as I have, your biggest enemy is boredom.
Yes.
Because idle hands are the devil's workshop. And that's just a fact.
In Connecticut, preliminary overdose death counts are up more than 19%. They're up 9% in Washington, 28% in Colorado, 30% in Kentucky. I will look up Kansas and Missouri. I would not
expect these are overdose deaths,
and I would not expect those numbers to be any different here.
Texas just came in. I think we as Americans have horrible coping skills. So many stresses put on top of that. It's a powder keg. COVID is your match. Let's go to Matt in Lee's Summit, 576-7798. Matt, good afternoon. Hello.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome to Platitude Theater, because I was going to follow up yours with when the cats away, the mice will play.
Yep.
There's a lot less police out enforcing, well, you saw the story maybe about drunk driving, but also speeding. And since this COVID happened, I drive quite a bit, so I get to listen to you guys. Not as much as some in this city, but the amount of speeders, and I'm talking excessive, like 40 miles an hour over.
Yeah.
Is just asinine, and I think you guys have talked about it a few times. And, you know, it's lack of police, and I'm not blaming them. I'm saying they don't have the resources. It's people not coping well. There might be some suicide-type thinking, too, but it is awful. So I just wanted to help make your points there, guys.
Matt, be well, my friend.
Thank you for it, Matt. And I'm curious, are you still doing recovery or psychological counseling or any of those things via Zoom? Or have some of those meetings that are important to you, whether that's a therapist, any health appointment, we all need to be staying on top of that. It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Are some of those things coming back, especially in the arena of addiction where you need that support?
Telephone number here is 576-7798. The text line is the same number. Just make sure if you're texting, you put a 913 in front of it. 576-7798. So we're talking about the just how crazy this world has just gotten, man. And, you know, Dana was sharing a story about overdose deaths around the country skyrocketing ever since, you know, COVID started and we get cooped up in the house, and people who are struggling to stay sober all of a sudden don't fall off the cliff. They dive off the cliff, and then they got to get themselves back up somehow. And I know it's tough, man. I know it's tough. Josh in Overland Park. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Scott. How you doing today, man?
Doing well, man. Thanks. Thank you for asking.
So, you know, this topic, it really hits home for me because, you know, I've been clean now for 2.5 years this coming Sunday.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Off of opioids, which are absolutely horrible. I was addicted to that crap for about 9.5 years. I'm 30 years old now. I got addicted right when I was about 18.
Wow.
Yeah, it's horrible, man. And through this pandemic, yeah, it's been horribly difficult to stay clean through all this. And, you know, it's not for the fact that, you know, in the Kansas City area, at least, I don't know about everywhere else, but in the Kansas City area, you know, there's a great, great network of recovery groups, you know. And, yeah, it sucks that, you know, they were meeting online for a while, but we're finally back in person. And I couldn't have done it without the support of those groups. I mean, this, and I've seen several close friends go back out, and some of them almost died. So
are you physically back in a support group now, Josh, or is it all Zoom?
I am physically back in two different, I go to two different meetings that are meeting in person now.
And I think that's critical. If we're at the point, Josh, and this is just my personal opinion, which I'm paid to give, if we're at the point where we are allowing students to go back to school and we are allowing people to go sit in seats at Arrowhead, we 100% can be at the point for a life-saving lifeline like support groups to be in person.
You got to remember, a lot of those groups don't own their own building. They rent at a church or, you know,
exactly.
A community center.
The two groups that I go to the most, yeah, we do rent, you know, they do rent their space. And every single meeting, you know, at the beginning of the meeting, the person running the meeting, you know, says, you know, masks are very much encouraged for all members. And so, you know, there's a good bunch of people wearing masks, and, you know, we do take safety precautions at all the groups I go to. And I mean, I'm just so thankful that they're letting us, you know, that they haven't shut us down. Cause,
did they shut you down for a while and then you had to go to the Zoom or?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
And so, you know, I've overdosed twice myself, and my heart stopped both times, and I was pronounced dead at the scene both times.
Oh, Josh. Wow.
Yeah. Back when I was 20 years old.
You know, I'm curious, do you talk to younger people, Josh, now and say, if I can get clean after all of those years, so can you? Like, I'm not saying it's easy, but if I can do this, you really are a rare example of someone who's come out on the other side, and you're not one of those statistics of the death.
Yeah, I mean, I've only recently started, you know, trying to share my story and my experience, strength, and hope with, you know, younger folks, you know, that are around the age that I was when I started using. Because I'm just now comfortable enough in my own recovery, you know, that I've got a good enough buffer behind me.
Yeah.
Between the last time I got high, and I'm so thankful for that every day, and I'm so thankful for the opportunity to share with these kids, because it's just tragic. I mean, I have lost. I graduated high school in 2009. Go Wildcats, DeSoto Wildcats, and I've lost a lot of friends that I grew up with to overdose deaths.
Mm. Well, Josh,
know, people that graduated before me and after me. So,
well, Josh, thank you for the call, for your honesty, and happy birthday.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. You guys have a good afternoon.
You take care.
Be well, my friend.
Bye.
Did I just say fi? Rod in Independence, 576-7798. Hello, Rod.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you, man. Thanks for asking.
Hey, you know, at the start of this pandemic, I've been in recovery for a number of years, and when all of this hit, they shut our meetings down here in Independence.
Mm-hmm.
My sponsor ended up going and talking to, I believe it was the mayor, and got him reinstated because he said that, you know, the benefits, you know, like we talked to, you know, Josh earlier on the previous call. I mean, mm-hmm. some of these guys are hanging on by a thread, and the meetings are the only thing that they have. And so, you know, he recognized that was a big issue, and it would be a bigger problem with suicides. And
why the mayor? Do you guys operate out of a city owned building or something?
No, it's just that.
Oh, to get him to lift the restrictions.
Exactly, because we weren't allowed to have any meeting.
Hmm.
So, you know, and like what Dana said with, you know, these people meeting, you have to have face to face contact, especially with those new people that are coming in that don't know what's going on. You know, they you can't rely on a Zoom meeting. And Zoom meetings they're too easy to shut the camera off or the microphone off,
or to step away from the room. And
yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
So,
well,
I know I think that people need to be a little more active and proactive in those types of things, so that we're, you know, my buddy doesn't have any. He's not in the city or anything like that. He's just a regular guy. But you know, you can call up and get those things done if we, you know, take the time to do that.
Rod, good to talk to you, man.
Hey, good to talk to you.
Thank you for the call. Sarah in Overland Park, you're next. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, what's going on?
So,
I'm calling. I live in a sober living. I live in Oxford, and it saved my life. Doing what I do for a living, I can't go out. I know that some meetings have opened up, but I'm with the elderly. I'm home health.
Okay.
So I can't be going out to meetings. So, yeah, Zoom meetings aren't that fantastic, but Oxford Living has saved my life. And even in Oxford, the relapses, the overdoses are becoming just insane amounts. People are losing their minds.
Because of the pandemic, you're saying?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have jobs. They don't have meetings. I mean, meetings just opened up. If you choose to go, meetings have just opened up, I think, within the last 5 weeks. Some meetings are still on Zoom. But it's the lifeline is.
But Sarah, isn't there a way to do it where you can, within reason, keep everyone in that circle safe? And I go back to my original point that we're allowing people back at Chiefs games. And so I just feel like this is such an important lifeline for anyone who is struggling, that if we can go to a Chiefs game, we can find a way to 6 feet social distance in a circle on some chairs in a basement somewhere.
I'm sure there is. I just choose not to because of the job that I have. I can't put myself out there for safety's sake.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because she works with the elderly.
In case you contract it. I got it now.
Yes. So I have to stay. You know, I have my counseling on Fridays with my therapist, Zoom. I have my meetings on Zoom. It gets old. But if I don't go to them, I'd probably lose my mind with everybody else.
Yeah.
Well, I see, and I've been open about that, I see a psychologist on a pretty regular basis and have for a little less than a year now. But when this whole pandemic started, we, you know, I don't know if he doesn't know how to use Zoom or didn't, I don't know, but we would just meet over the phone for an hour every other Friday. And we just recently started opening that back up to in-office meetings. And it's a world of difference.
Yeah, it feels like you're closed off to the world. It's the world has gotten really small. So
yeah,
thanks, guys.
All right, be well. Thank you.
You know, one of the things I do want to mention today, and it's also in the stack, there are some good things that have come from the Zoom, especially with children, Scott, who may, I don't want to say be in a dangerous situation, but and we've certainly seen that too. But there are some good things about letting people see just a little sliver or window of your life. I mean, number one, with the addiction topic, it's better than nothing.
Oh, sure.
It's not the same as being in person and having that touch and face-to-face, but it's better than nothing. And there are people who have been saved because of the Zoom. Who would have thought, if you had said to me a year ago, something, something Zoom, I would have gone, what is that? I wouldn't have even known what a Zoom was. It is such a part of our lives now. There have been lives saved because of Zoom.
I don't deny that at all.
You know, someone has a stroke or a heart attack, and you see that. There's a story in the stack today about children who this teacher said he would hear this beep. All the kids would get on the Zoom, and he would start hearing beep, beep. And he was like, what the heck is that sound? Do you have any guesses what it is?
Was it his insulin going off?
Nope. Several of the children had this beep going off.
No, what was it?
They need to have their smoke detectors batteries replaced.
Oh, really?
There's another story in the stack.
I mean, who would have thought of that? And the teacher was like, wait a minute, what? Beep, beep, beep. You know how that drives you nuts when you can't find the
right
one that's chirping? Can you imagine being on a Zoom as a teacher and you got 27 of those things going off? And he got them batteries for their smoke detectors. Fall back?
Spring forward, fall back. Yeah.
Yeah. So we had ours changed yesterday, public service announcement. Change the batteries in your smoke detector. We changed 13 of them yesterday because I'm crazy.
You have 13 smoke detectors in your house?
Plus two wired into the alarm system. So 15. Yes.
Wow.
I have two. And a carbon dioxide detector.
I have four of those.
Monoxide. I think it's carbon monoxide.
I have four of those.
She has 15 in her manner.
I had a firefighter tell me once, yeah, you know, even I'm going to say you've gone a little overboard here. But when we have one chirp, it takes time to find it. And so, because we have so many, I just replace them all when we fall, whatever it is. Spring and fall. Change them.
Telephone number here, 576-7798. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. I am Scott Parks. Coming up, we will talk about two very famous people, two very different stories. Rush Limbaugh disclosing that his diagnosis is not improving, sadly. And Jeffrey Toobin.
Is now a
verb.
He Toobin himself. And he's going to be taking a little bit of time off.
That's why I'd like to talk to you about Jesus.
And some personal issues. Is that what we call that these days?
Now, that's a guy who probably does not benefit from the Zoom.
Yeah, I don't think he should ever go back on Zoom.
He should take himself off of Zoom forever. 576-7798. Also coming up this afternoon, how to spot a military imposter.
I found that for you, and I thought you would find it fascinating, as did I.
But to wrap up the hour of craziness, we started with crazy and we will end with crazy. Only in America. A teenage boy, this is from the Wichita Eagle, a teenage boy who was naked and covered in ranch dressing. Crashed a vehicle at a Kansas gas station early Saturday morning. Sounds like my weekend. The disturbance was reported to 911 around 3:30 in the morning.
I want
to
hear that call.
At the Petro Deli convenience store.
Oh, yeah. In Topeka.
No, this is... Yeah, no, Topeka.
No, the Petro Deli.
Yeah.
That's not far from my parents' house.
Quoting here from the sheriff's office in Topeka, a 17-year-old male was naked and under the influence of a substance. He covered himself in ranch dressing, damaged property inside of a business, ran outside, jumped into a running vehicle, and then crashed into a nearby pillar. Deputies took the boy into custody and was later taken to a hospital and released to his parents.
Yeah.
But he smelled delicious.
Just don't know what else to say about it. They talked about this on Middays, and I'm like, I don't know.
I don't want to laugh because we're making fun of the very thing we just talked about in the last segment.
My guess is this 17-year-old had gotten into some, alcohol, you name it.
Well, he clearly got into something. They said he was under the influence of a substance, and I don't think it's natural nor normal to take one's clothes off and then bathe in ranch dressing. How'd you like to have to clean that car out?
I would not like to do that at all.
And then this story out of Connecticut from NBC News. Comedian and HBO host John Oliver quietly visited a town in Connecticut last week to celebrate the occasion that the town had named a sewage plant in his honor. Danbury Mayor Mark Boughton made the announcement on social media early Monday morning, posting a photo of him and Oliver standing in front of the new sewer plant.
Look at it, look at it, look at it.
Does it say John Oliver Memorial?
John Oliver Memorial Sewer Plant.
He's not dead.
There's an American flag there, and he's got his hands up in the air like he's Rocky Balboa.
Isn't he draped in like a garbage bag or something?
Funny.
The Danbury Sewer Plant was renamed the John Oliver Memorial Sewer Plant after the town city council voted earlier this month in favor of the change, according to Mayor Boughton. The decision follows a months-long playful feud with the mayor after the host of HBO's Last Week Tonight with John Oliver criticized the town while discussing racial discrimination and jury selection. During his segment on the show from August 16th, the comedian ranted about how Connecticut mistakenly excluded residents from Hartford and New Britain, which accounts for a predominantly black and Hispanic population in the district, for nearly 3 years. He joked that if they were going to forget a town in Connecticut, why not Danbury? F Danbury, Oliver said on TV. From its charming railway museum to its historic Hearthstone Castle, Danbury, Connecticut can eat my whole... And he used another bad word.
Mm-hmm.
To refer to one's buttocks.
Mayor Mark Boughton responded to the attack by posting a video of himself at the sewage plant saying the city was going to name it after Oliver because, quote, it's full of crap, just like you, John. Now, they did raise money for charity throughout this back and forth.
$55,000.
Good for them. He shared a video of the ribbon cutting on his show on Sunday. He wore a homemade protective suit, which appeared to be made from a white plastic trash bag.
I'll confess, I think he's the funniest
he's brilliant.
On-air comedian right now.
He's brilliant.
Now, granted, he gets a whole week to plan for one show.
Yes.
But I think his jokes are the funniest.
He is brilliant as a writer, as a comedian, all of it. And the ceremony, by the way, was kept private because of public health precautions. They didn't want tens of thousands of people showing up at a sewage plant in Danbury, Connecticut.
Why?
It's hard to social distance at a sewage plant.
Yes.
Is my guess.
You know, I'm trying to think of a time in my adult life other than when I was first getting divorced and I lived in an apartment that I have not lived down the street from a sewage plant. When I was married and we lived
Are
in
you
West,
serious?
I'm dead serious.
Like, you seek this out in your...
No, I don't seek it out.
You plant your stakes, like, no. I want three closets and two-car garage, and I'd like to be near a sewage plant.
No, but when we bought the house in Western Shawnee, it was right next to the Deffenbaugh site, right?
Yeah.
But also right next to the Deffenbaugh site is a wastewater treatment facility. And on a hot summer day, if the wind blows just right, Then when I bought the house in Ropo, I didn't realize that at the end of the street, which dead ends, there's another sewage plant down there.
Do you think real estate agents only show you the property when the wind is out a certain direction?
Well, they sure didn't tell me anything about that water treatment plant that was, I don't know, probably 8 or 9 blocks away. Never got word of that.
Thought that would have been the top thing on the listing.
In fact, distinctly remember when I followed her out to the house, we went the exact opposite way. I'm going to read it, but I don't, I'm only reading this. I live next to a sewage plant, Scott. I think it's called something like Grandview.
Wow. Wow. You be nice to crime-free Grandview.
And stay down.
Wow. When we get back, some sad news from Rush Limbaugh regarding his diagnosis with lung cancer, and also some incredibly embarrassing news for Jeffrey Toobin of CNN legal analyst fame.
And I have one question when we talk about that story. Could he be charged? And if so, with what?
Mm.
Also coming up today, my favorite story of the day. There is a new debate about what to do with something inside the wreckage of the Titanic.
All right. That and more coming up. News is next here on Dana and Parks on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.